Jesus.
Blood in Jesus is my plea.
Service, the portion of Sunday school. We would like to read from the Bible in the book of John chapter 13, and then we'll turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 13 also. It's very good to be back in the house of the Lord. I've been away for a long time, but I'm sure glad to be here this morning, even though I wish Brother Maxwell was standing here, because he knows how to do Sunday school very well, you know. He can moderate his voice better than I can, so be praying for me this morning. Amen. John chapter 13, we would like to read verse number 34, and we'll take our title from there. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. A commandment to love from the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And then in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 to 3, it says, let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, Lord, to be here in this morning. Father, to remember the day when you rose from that grave. Father, we are so thankful, Father, for that day. And as we come to commemorate it here every Sunday, Lord, we pray that it be not a tradition to us, Lord, but that, Father, there be something burning in our hearts, Lord, to be together with the saints to worship you. Help us, Father, as we look into the scriptures in Sunday school class, Lord, Father, to pick something from here, Lord, that will help us in the days, the weeks, and the months to come. We commit this service to you, Lord, as we ask these blessings in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. 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 You may be seated, saints. May the Lord bless you. So we just read there in the book of Hebrews chapter 13, Paul speaking his very last testament to the saints, the Hebrews, and he says, let brotherly love continue. You know, he's exhorting them to let brotherly love continue. Love is a very powerful force, you know, but he's saying we have to let it continue among us, to let it express itself to others through us. Why? Because there can be things that can hinder brotherly love from continuing to be expressed from you. Amen. And to let something happen is it means for you to get out of the way and let it continue. It's like standing at the door there this morning. Brother Eli could stand there and stop people from coming in. But to let them come in, he has to stand away from the door, take himself outside of the way, to let others come in. So that's like letting brotherly love continue. There are things you have to take out of the way and let that brotherly love continue, because those things can easily come in the way and stop brotherly love being expressed through you. You know? That's what we have to do with God's love, is that we've got to let it continue from ourselves and be expressed to others the way God wants it to be expressed to others. Because sometimes when people do things to you, you know, if I step on Brother Joel's toes this morning, and then during the week an occasion arises for him to help me to express love, divine love to me, he might remember, say, "Hey, Brother Will, he stepped on me on Sunday." I'm not, you know, his memory comes in the way and it stops. Maybe God wanted to express his love to me through the mortality of our brother, but his memory of what I did to him, or what he thinks I did to him, or what he may think I said to him that someone else said, may come in the way and stop that brotherly love from being expressed through him. That's why Paul says here, let brotherly love continue. Because we hold this divine love in our hearts, we hold it in this body that is not redeemed, in this fallen mind that we have. And it gets in the way many times. You know, a brother's got a nicer suit than you, you know, or he's got a better degree that he did than you did, or he seems to be doing better, or maybe a sister seems to have her things in order and things are working for her. If you are not careful and you live in a carnal mind, jealousies can begin to rise. And then when opportunity comes for you to be used in ministering to that sister, divine love, those jealousies can stand in the way and stop divine love right in its tracks. No wonder Paul says, let brotherly love continue. It's something we have to do to take these hindrances out of the way, to let it continue to be expressed from us to others. Because we have a commandment which we read in the book of John. Jesus spoke and he says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. It's a commandment to you and to me to love one another. And he says, by this will all men know that you are my disciples. Now let's look into that a little bit, because it may seem a whole lot contradictory to command someone to love others, because love is a voluntary action. I mean, you can't force someone to love someone. I mean, looking at it from a worldly sense, you know, that's the trouble with all these arranged marriages and stuff. You know, so when a commandment is given to say, I command you to love one another, and by this will all men you are my disciples, it may seem very contradictory. But if you are a born-again believer, God's divine love abides in your heart. And he didn't put it there just for show. He had a purpose in doing that. He wants to express himself to his people through you. That divine love that you hold in your heart, God wants it expressed to others through you, just as much as he expressed his love through Jesus Christ to us by dying on the cross. So there's a reason why this love tabernacles our souls, and it wants to express itself through us, you know. But this mind is unredeemed that we have. You know, it feels insecurities, it feels jealousies, it feels stepped upon, and it can get in the way of letting this love be expressed. You know, when it remembers that, oh, this person did this and that and so forth, it can be quite a struggle. But if we can get to a place where we know that all these things that we observe from our memories of what happened to us, from our injustices that we suffered at the hands of others, from the bad treatment that we went through because such and such said such and such, if we can get to a place where we know those things are lying vanities. Like Jonah said, the people that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. When you observe your insecurities and the things that someone did to you and then you let those things hinder love from being expressed to others, you are observing lying vanities. And you are forsaking your own mercies. Because Jesus says, I command you to love one another. And when you do that, all men will know that you are my disciples. How? Have you ever seen a gang of bikers? Those people love one another. But their love for one another will never make people know that they are God's disciples. Have you ever seen people that watch Liverpool or follow football? I saw a man early this morning who jumped into a river because his team won and it avoided relegation from the Premier League. But the river was so shallow, he shattered his whole heel like this. The love of football. Those people, they love one another, but their love will never let people be known. It will never let them be known as disciples of Jesus Christ. Yet our love that we have, the divine love of God that we hold in our hearts, when we let it continue and express itself to others, by this all men will know that we are his disciples. Why? Because the very things that happened in the life of Christ as he walked through the streets of Judea will happen in our midst. And people will take notice and say, these people have been with Jesus. They will see the very life of Christ repeating again in our lives. That's why when we observe these lying vanities, we are forsaking our own mercy. Love is a very powerful force. If I can describe to you some of the things that love can do, you will see that when you observe lying vanities and stop love from being expressed through you, you are robbing yourself. Because love, the prophet says, a man can be healed by love. A person could be on the deathbed going out and you visit them and you put your arm around and say, oh, brother, I love you, brother. A real love from your heart. The prophet says, that's how I pray for people. When they come in the prayer line, I enter into a fellowship of their feeling, of their sickness, of their suffering. I step into their shoes and feel what they are feeling. No wonder in the book of Hebrews, that's what he said. When others are suffering in bond, you suffer with them like that. Enter into that fellowship and then you can pray for them. You can express love to them. And then when you express that love, divine God's mercy comes on the scene and produces the answer for that person. So you see how we can hold back the things that God has in store for us simply because of observing some lying vanity of what she said about me 5 years ago, you know? No, it shouldn't be like that. Divine love. Love can make a mother run into a burning house for a child. That's human love. What about divine love? Look what it did to God, love. The Bible says God so loved the world. It was based on love what he did. It had to be love. It couldn't be anything else that made Jesus to carry that cross up the hill thinking of you and me. Going up the hill to die on the cross wouldn't make him any more God than what he was. He was already God. But for the love that he had, imagine this all-existing powerful force out there, God, deciding to become a man that can die on the cross. What compelled him to do that? Love for you and for me. If love can change God from his great form that we can ever imagine to what he is like into a man that can feel hungry and cry with a headache and die on the cross. Love did that. What more can it do to you when you hold it in your heart? Divine love. It's such a powerful force that you can never imagine what it can do to you when you hold it in your heart and let it express itself through you. Jesus Christ says, greater love has no man than this, that he should lay his life down for his friends. It's all about love, isn't it? The whole thing is love and how God expressed it to us and how we must express it to others. Imagine what love did to you and me. How much of a sinner you were. And you were hell bound. You were going to go to hell and perish there. But love intervened and literally changed you from a hell bound creature to a heaven bound creature of eternity. Love did that and is sending you to heaven as we are speaking right now. You know? So there's so much in brotherly love that we can speak about. But Paul also says, if I have faith that I could move mountains and have not love, I'm nothing. No wonder love is the keeping stone. And I know Brother Maxwell loves this part, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse number 7. And it says to, what does it say, Brother Maxwell? And to brotherly kindness add charity, which is love. Yeah? It is the keeping stone of who you are, is love. When that keeping stone comes and vulcanizes, I know you love this word, Brother Maxwell, when it comes and vulcanizes with you as you are being built, I might have all the virtues of the stature of a perfect man. But if that keeping stone doesn't come, I'm nothing. And when it comes, it's got to vulcanize. It's got to become one with me. There's got to be some kind of a reaction that makes it and me to be one like that there. Then it is kept. But I wanted to say this, that you have to be that material for when love comes to vulcanize with you. Because you can't vulcanize water and oil. So it isn't the coming of the Lord that's going to turn you into Christ-like. You have to be Christ-like to see the coming of the Lord. Just the same as dying is not going to change you into a saint. When you die, what you are now is what you will be when you resurrect. The rapture is not going to turn you into some wonderful Christian brother. What you are, you have to be rapture material for you to be raptured. So you've got to have this love that has got this power to change a person for you to see the coming of the Lord. And I want to get to this place here about these lying vanities, just to show something small that I thought could help the saints this morning. That when you look in the Bible, throughout the scriptures, it's a whole big love story. And you can take any portion of those stories to learn something about love. Any of those stories, you can take Joseph and see what love he expressed to his brethren. You can take God himself and see what love he expressed to Adam and Eve when they sinned. But I wanted to take one story which I know you are all familiar with, that of Abraham and Lot. The way Abraham expressed or let the love of God that was in him be expressed to Lot, and pray that you learn something there. Because it helped me, and I hope that it will help someone. Because Abraham, when he was called by God to go to a certain place that God will show him, Abraham took with him Lot, his brother's son. The brother had died. So he packed with him. I imagine that he would advise him. He treated him like his own son. And they went together everywhere they went until they settled where they were settling. But the land became small. It couldn't contain all the things that they had. And the Bible said that there was strife between the headsmen of Lot and the headsmen of Abraham. And I want you to notice something there. The very fact that Lot had his own headsmen and Abraham had his own headsmen, yet these people were one household, shows there was trouble brewing in this family. Something would have happened for them to have separate headsmen. And then it all ended up in a place where now the headsmen are striving. And Abraham said, well, let us separate. You go to the left, I'll go to the right. But if you take the right, I'll take the left. Already displaying divine love, preferring one to another. But Lot chose the plains of Jordan towards Sodom. It must have been a very disappointing thing for Abraham, because he raised this boy, he trained him, he taught him between right and wrong. Now the time to choose comes, he chooses Sodom and Gomorrah. Apart from the strife and seeing this little boy that I raised, now we are striving like this. Can you think what it must have been for Abraham to separate with Lot, a boy that he had raised as his own child? It's easy to read that verse, but when it ever happens to you in life, you see that it wasn't an easy thing that Abraham had to go through. But when the occasion came that Abraham could do something for Lot, Abraham didn't hold back anything. Imagine, I would imagine some people, if they hear, that brother is in trouble. Oh, we told him not to move to Florida or to Los Angeles, you know. But it wasn't like that with Abraham. When the opportunity came for him to express love for a brother, he went into a war jeopardizing his own life just so that love could be expressed through him to Lot. And he went and redeemed Lot and brought him back. That was the spirit of Christ in Abraham. Even when the Lord himself came and said, Abraham, I'm going to tell you what I'll do to Sodom and Gomorrah. Already Lot was the mayor of Sodom, you know. And he said, I'm going to burn that city. I'm telling you, some people would have said, let it burn, Lord, let it burn. You know? But Abraham was like, Lord, be it far from you to punish the righteous with the unrighteous. What if there's 50 people in the city that are righteous? And God said, I'll spare the whole city if you can find 50. What was Abraham doing? Pleading for the life of Lot. Even though this boy's son that he had raised had gone astray a long time ago. But Abraham didn't take the memories of what happened with Lot and say, yeah, that boy, I told him, he should have stuck with my house, huh? Now he's in trouble. He will see it for himself now that I was right. That isn't love, saints. Love forgets all those things. Abraham took all the memories that he had with Lot, all the bad things that had happened, and you can't forget it. You don't have access to the sea of forgetfulness. You remember when I did wrong to you. I mean, you'll be a hypocrite to say you don't. Only God can forget. I remember when people did wrong for me. But when opportunity comes and the devil reminds you of those things, it's a cross that you have to carry. You've got to carry it on your shoulders and put it aside and let brotherly love continue through you. Because it isn't Jesus alone who must carry the cross. The song says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No, there's a cross for you and the cross for me. And we all must carry that cross. You know, a cross is something you have to bear in order to carry out your ministry. If you shun that cross, you can't do your ministry. Just as much as Jesus had a ministry to perform. He had to redeem you and me. But that redemption had to come through the cross. And he had to carry that cross for you and me. Must he carry the cross alone? No, there's a cross for you and for me also to carry. So when you remember that this sister, she did this and that, and made false accusations against me, and you observe those things, you are observing lying vanities. You are robbing yourself of an opportunity to let God express himself to others, to let something real happen, because divine love does real things. God himself is love. And without love, Paul says, I am nothing. I may move mountains, I may have prophecy and this and that, but without love, I'm nothing. And I must carry that cross so that I could let divine love be expressed to others through me. May the Lord bless you this morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are thankful for these few words. We ask, Father, that you would help us, Father, when the opportunity comes, O God, to remember the commandment, love one another. Lord, and let all else be vanity, but your word only be the one that stands and directs our paths, Lord, and to do what it is that you want us to do. We commit the remainder of this service into your hands, Lord. We pray for the musicians, Lord, that you may use them, Lord, this morning. May you grant grace, Lord, even unto our pastor as he shall bring the word. We pray, Lord, that you'd use him also, Father, to minister us, Lord, into a place that you want us to be. We commit ourselves to you now. Bless those that are watching from home, Lord, and those that are at work this morning. We ask, Father, that you be with them also as we commit now this service to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Musicians, right on time.